Nope. Seen it. Oh, nah.
Can't find something to watch? Introducing Sky Stream. It's Sky without the dish. Watch unmissable Sky exclusives like The Regime and Netflix too, all over super reliable Sky full fibre broadband. Get Sky Stream, Sky Broadband and Netflix for just €50 a month. Search Sky Stream. Availability subject location. New customers only. 12-month minimum term. Stream and broadband sold separately. Further terms apply. For more info, see sky.ie/speeds.
Seachtain. An Indo Ascaelige.
Time I mon iroachtaí a dhéanamh teacht ar a chorp. Agus súligam amach an seo, gur féidir é a chur in uaig ceart lena bhaintir féin.
Scíltaí, fios, tuairimí.
Tá sé dochreite nach bhféadfach ara i gcuirna meáin an cheist sin a eicáil.
Bhí an talam a gnám go raibh orthcháir na reachtam. Iadach sé tarraing go raibh an orthcháir san i lis dúthail agus gimine fanacht gór a chlig sár ducha sin éachar. Ná ní bhin ann thar d'oraach sin, bhin marav.
Seachtain. Find us on all the usual podcast platforms.
On this week's Big Tech Show, how will the latest developments in artificial intelligence affect your life? Will you get new powerful personal assistants? Are you in danger of something terrible happening? We explain what's going on.
Just a couple of weeks ago, Anthropic, which is OpenAI competitor, their startup lab, actually founded by former OpenAI employees, they actually eclipsed GPT-4 only just a couple of weeks ago with their latest model, and the internet went crazy. This is just better than GPT-4 at everything. So OpenAI had to respond to that.
The Big Tech Show, available on all podcast platforms.
This is an Irish Independent podcast.
Hello and welcome to The Left Wing. So Ireland are back-to-back Six Nations champions. They beat Scotland 17 points to 13 at the Aviva Stadium a little earlier today. I'm Sinead Cassan and I'm joined by Keane Tracy and Rory O'Connor. Now, we are looking for some of your feedback for our podcast and to be in with a chance to win a €500 one for all voucher. Go to www.mypodcastfeedback.com, pop in the code WING and fill out the short survey. The survey closes soon, so don't miss out. They got there in the end, lads. That was just about tense.
Kind of a strange day, a strange kind of game, kind of not the game that anyone expected. Scotland had a huge part to play in that. I think they tested Ireland in ways that maybe we didn't know they could. I think physically they put it up to Ireland. Ireland looked really nervous at the first half. They lacked energy. They lacked urgency. They didn't look as slick as they can do. And there was maybe echoes of last week, but the second half they were very dominant. Mm-hmm. Didn't get the reward on the scoreboard, and it was a little bit nervy at times, but that Andrew Porter, you could feel the relief in the stadium when Andrew Porter goes over off the back of that flick out from Ronan Kelleher. But then Harry Byrne gets himself in, and then we have a little bit of a nervous finish. So look, we can't say we didn't get any drama. It was they had to go and earn it, they had to go and win it, and they're deserved. They are the best team in this tournament, they're the best team in Europe. They have won back-to-back Six Nations, which is a really, you know, shouldn't be sniffed at and should be celebrated. But as a performance, it probably wasn't the greatest of the Andy Farrell era. And on the back of last week, maybe they'll have plenty of reviewing to do. But you can't take away the achievement.
Yeah.
There's a reason why Six Nations titles are hard to win. There's even bigger reasons why back-to-back Grand Slams are harder to win. And Andy Farrell just touched on that there in the press conference. It's not easy. And Ireland made it probably harder for themselves than it should have been. I mean, I was just having a look back at the stats there. They had 58% possession and 65% territory. If you had said that at the start of the game, I think everyone would have said Ireland probably win handily enough. And, you know, Rudd's touching it there. You got to give the Scottish defence credit for that. They frustrated the life out of Ireland, but they came out in the second half with a noticeably more intensity, but they were still lacking accuracy, which, I don't know, was it nerves? I was reminded of going for the Grand Slam here this time last year when they were just a little bit nervous and, I don't know, not overawed by the occasion because they ended up getting the job done there
just
as well.
Flat.
But they were flat, yeah. I thought the bench, they got a bit of oomph off the bench and he went to the bench. Andy Farrell did it much earlier than he did last weekend, so perhaps there was a lesson learned there. But look, they're Six Nations champions, back-to-back Grand Slam champions. They've set such high standards for themselves that it maybe wasn't the occasion that everyone hoped it would be in terms of going for a Grand Slam, but six, they've only won six Six Nations titles, and yeah, like they did it the hard way, but there's a lot to be encouraged, I think, about Irish rugby, even if they started so well in Marseille. And, you know, they obviously did well against Italy, they did well against Wales, lost to England. And then we were hoping for a big finish, and while it wasn't the slickest performance, they still got the job done, and that's to be applauded as well.
Yeah, and we just heard from Peter O'Mahony there in the press conference. Obviously, big day for him. There was speculation, as we spoke about earlier, Keane, about his future, whether it would be his last game in an Ireland jersey. He was very emotional during the national anthems. He was non-committal there, he said, but look, you know, that he'll have to talk about it with his family. But if it is his last, you know, what a way for him to go out. It does seem to be that looking that way.
Yeah, I think if you're a betting man, you'd be fairly confident that, you know, putting your money down that is probably the end. And he obviously didn't want to take away from the teams, yeah, from the occasion, from the team's day, and make it all about himself. It certainly fed into his performance. I thought, you know, apparently he spoke very emotionally to the team before the game. I wonder, did that just add a little bit of weight to their performance? Not to, you know, he tried to inspire them, but maybe they felt like they kind of needed to deliver for Peter, and that kind of weighed a little bit more heavily on them. He actually played very well. I thought Keane's written a piece about this, but it was an influential performance. Far more influential than he was last weekend, and kind of a sign that he can still do it. You know, that there is life in the old dog yet. And, you know, you think of South Africa winning the World Cup with two 37-year-old back rows on the pitch, and you wonder whether there's a role for him, you know, whether it's not as captain, maybe it's as a kind of a squad player, a senior leader who comes in for certain games. Like South Africa barely used Wayne Vermeulen for 4 years, and then suddenly they brought him out for a World Cup final. You know, he went on holidays to Ulster for a couple of years, and they got him out of it. So maybe they need to send him to Japan and, go examine the Japanese gardens for a couple of years and then come back refreshed.
He might like that, like, yeah.
My sense is that's probably it. Like, I think Andy Farrell almost persuaded him to go for one last campaign to, you know, manage a bit of a transitional period. We haven't had wholesale changes, but we have had Calvin Nash, Joe McCarthy, and most importantly, Jack Crowley come in for Johnny Sexton, and the team has still managed to win the Six Nations without him. And I think what O'Mahony and O'Farrell have done here by managing through that transitional period shouldn't be diminished, because before Marseille, very few people were tipping Ireland to win this title. And Marseille set a new expectation. We all revised our expectations, mm-hmm, after Marseille. But coming into this tournament, they come off the back of a devastating World Cup quarterfinal defeat. They lost their talismanic captain, and no one knew how they were going to cope. And, you know, their performances probably got diminished as they went on, and they ran a little low on energy, and you wonder whether he needed to refresh the team. You know, today you wonder, should he have made a couple of changes? But they got the result in the end, and it's a very significant achievement, particularly given how much change has got. You know, it's only a couple of players, but they were significant players.
Yeah, just on O'Mahony, I think it's probably a mark of the man who he is, that if it is going to be his last game for Ireland, that he didn't want this week to be about him, and he certainly didn't want the post-match to be about him as well. I don't think that would surprise anyone. I mean, you hear how highly Andy Farrell talks about him. Each of the players who we spoke to after the match, I have a piece of Jack Crowley hailing him, Ryan Baird has spoken about him being an inspiration, and how he told him that before the match, and he told him that after the match as well, that he really looks up to him, and this is the guy who he's trying to take his jersey. So, and interestingly, I think the mark of respect that I think definitely Munster supporters would hold him anyway. I think it's sometimes outside of Munster, he probably doesn't get the love that he does back home. But I was talking to someone who was watching the match in a packed pub in Dingle, and said that when O'Mahony's interview came on the TV, you could have heard a pin drop, yeah, because the whole place was hanging on his every word to hear if he would, you know, retire or not. I think that's the kind of esteem that he's held on. He's a guy who doesn't always get the credit he maybe deserves. I mean, he kind of referenced it there in the press conference that last week was one of the toughest days of his career in terms of his own performance, and obviously the costly yellow card. But to come out and to have managed the emotions around this week, I believe, we touched on this earlier, Sinead, in our video, I believe he gave a great speech to the squad on Monday, mm-hmm, as well, in terms of the review, and, you know, that he's been in scenarios where he's gone, plenty of scenarios where he's gone into the last day of Six Nations and they've been dead rubbers, whereas, you know, it was time to pick them up again. And I don't think there was any better person to be able to do that than Peter O'Mahony.
He missed his leadership, won't they?
Yeah, yeah, like, if it is to be, they absolutely will. But I think Rod mentioned it there, the way Ireland have handled the transition, it's been so important, mm-hmm, to have a guy like Peter O'Mahony to overseen this Six Nations. He becomes the fifth player to are the fourth player to win a fifth Six Nations title, which is an unbelievable achievement as well. But look, there were plenty of calls, you know, to have a new fresh captain, as there always is post World Cup. But it was really clever by Andy Farrell to have Peter O'Mahony. Look, if it is going to be Caelan Doris, which I think many people believe it will be, to take over whenever that was, he got experience of captaining in this campaign as well, and he's been able to lean on him throughout the whole Six Nations. So we've seen that in the way Johnny Sexton was kind of, you know, not phased out, obviously, but retired, the way Jack Crowley got to learn off him. And I wouldn't be surprised if so much of the stuff that we don't get to see behind the scenes is building towards that as well, because I think South Africa will probably be a bit of a turning point. I think we will see a couple, maybe more fresh faces coming in, because look, challenges don't get much tougher. And as Andy Farrell says, there's so much still to look forward to this year alone for Irish rugby.
Yeah, well, here is Andy Farrell just on today's performance. But first, here is Peter O'Mahony, and he was asked about his future.
I don't know, I need to go and talk to my wife and family and have a think about it. I won't be making any decisions over the next few days, but next week we'll have to have a chat. And no, I'm still loving it. You know, this part of it is the best feeling in the world, and that's the part you chase. But you know, you have to have a, you know, proper chat and be realistic. And you know, if it was my last one, you know, it wasn't a bad one to go on. You know, so I can hang the jersey in a good place if it was. But look, I'll have that weekend, or I'll have that chat next week.
Andy, does it make it all the sweeter to have been made work hard for that trophy?
I suppose it does. It was a proper test match, and when a trophy's on the line for both of us, that's how it should be, shouldn't it? I have no doubt that Scotland will be proud of their performance as well as us, you know. But ultimately, we're delighted, you know. It's about winning championships for us, and that's unbelievably pleasing because it's so hard to do. You know, everyone constantly talks about Grand Slams, and we get carried away with it so much. Back-to-back Grand Slams have never been done before. there's obviously a good reason for that. But for us to be in a position to win a back-to-back Six Nations, you know, it's a nice feeling for us, because that's, it goes down in history, doesn't it, for Irish rugby, you know. So we're unbelievably proud of the group.
So Peter O'Mahony and Andy Farrell there. Now, I was also down pitch side, and you really did, I know you did this last year,
but yeah,
you really
do get on?
Yeah, no, it was great, and you really get a sense of the celebration and everything, and the players doing their lap of honour. But I heard from Tadhg Byrne, Jack Crowley, Finlay Beelam. But first, here is Robbie Henshaw on winning back-to-back Six Nations titles, and also how they did it for Peter O'Mahony today.
Hi Robbie, back-to-back Six Nations champions, how does that feel?
Unbelievable. To win it at home soil 2 years in a row is special. You know, last week we were hurting after it, and we knew, you know, it was going to take a huge effort to win this week and make sure we finish on a high. So unbelievable for the group. The group's unreal. They're so tight. Everyone's really good friends in the group, and the management as well. They've really knitted the squad together so well. So good celebrations tonight.
Peter O'Mahony, what can you say about him, and are you trying to convince him to play on?
Yeah, listen, he's an unbelievable leader. He's relaxed a bit over the years as he's got older, but like, unbelievable to play for him, and he leads so well, and so important that we won today for him.
So there was a sense that you wanted to do it for Peter, was there? Again, we're getting out of you.
Absolutely, yeah, we want to do it for him.
Has he said anything to you about his future?
No, I'm not sure what's around the corner for him, so... You know, he said to us, you don't know when your last game in green is, so I don't know, not going to speculate.
Yeah, 100%, you know, that was our goal at the start. We managed to do it. We're certainly going to enjoy it tonight. And then, you know, if I'm hearing it again next year, we'll be going back to back, oh, please God. So let's enjoy it tonight first, though.
Well, it's a special tournament for that reason. It's right down to the wire. You know, there was still a lot to play for a number of teams. You saw last night with the 20s as well. So that's why it's such a special tournament, and why it's highly regarded around the world, is because it's so competitive. And then to be able to get the trophy in the end is special. So, yeah, yeah, relieved. It was a battle.
Do you reckon he's going to stay on or go or what, Finlay? I know you're very close.
Yeah, we're very close. I hope he stays on. He adds so much to this group, obviously on the pitch and stuff behind the scenes as well. Just a real calm character and loads of experience. And my best friend, Kapil Olof. What a man.
So a bit of reaction there from the players, but it was an incredibly tight game. I mean, we're starting to see a trend here of Ireland getting off to slow starts in the big games against England, against New Zealand, against England here a year ago as well.
Yeah, I do think that there's a jitteriness to them in these games. Like, if you remember back to the 2022 series against New Zealand, they started all three of those games like a train. Even Leinster in the Champions Cup final here last year against La Rochelle, when they went 17 and up, and the accuracy, it was such a trait for this team. But today, there was a nervousness. I think they were knocked off the rhythm by Scotland. Scotland, you know, in fairness, I thought were really, really physical, abrasive. They came with a plan. They didn't want to give Ireland lineouts. They kept the ball on the pitch. They know that Ireland scored the majority of their points, or the points off.
Probably you'd sleep.
What time is it?
well, they we just go for the points.
I know, we're nearly there. Last job before we get to Lands End Rugby Club. No, they get the majority of points off line out, and teams are not going to give them line outs easily. I think that's the way, it's one of the ways you beat Ireland, and Ireland need to find a different way if they're not getting the ball out of touch, and they contested the line out as well. And when Ireland don't get that kind of that flow of possession, they did struggle today. You know, I think they looked a bit limited in attack. I'm really interested to see, I think Andrew Goodman's probably coming in to help with the attack at a good time, because I think they're not being figured out. I think they're still very good. I mean, the two tries they scored in Twickenham last week were exceptional, and there was a bit of innovation for the Ronan Kelleher try.
Oh, but finally.
Absolutely.
How long have I been saying it?
I know. Not Ronan Kelleher try, but the pass he gave to Andrew Porter. It was sorely missing for most of the game, that innovation.
Absolutely, and we've discussed this, the two of us, a lot away from podcasts, that when Ireland do get those 5 metre taps, it's really frustrating that they don't dip into their box of tricks, because you look at what Leinster do in the variation, and Munster have started doing it as well over the last couple of years. It always just so frustrates me when Ireland just take the route one approach, and they did that, and it was off Tadhg Furlong's non-try, wasn't it? It was in the lead up to that, which I thought, to be fair, was a try, and that could have changed the game. But I was just so happy that they actually used a play, because it looked like Kelleher was going to truck it up the middle, and just a beautiful pass out the back to Andrew Porter. I think Andy Farrell said it was a bit subtle, but there was nothing subtle about Andrew Porter coming steaming at you. But that's what this Ireland team have, and it's been surprising that they maybe haven't kind of dipped into their box of tricks. And like I touched on Leinster there, Andrew Goodman is gets coming massive in. Praise for his set play, so I think it will be fascinating to see how they manage that.
I do think that the team probably, because of the nature of Marseille and coming off the back of the World Cup and this being a very, very long season, that they had huge energy at the start, but I wonder if they ran low on that energy as it went on. Did the toll of the physicality of the games and the way they play just kind of run aground? You know, I wonder, could he have made more changes between Twickenham and this week, because the team looked like they needed...
Yeah, should he have done that?
Well, they just didn't look fresh in that first half. Now, after half-time, they did. Like, they came out, even the crowd was enlivened. You know, we got the first kind of song the Fields of Baton Rye 5 minutes in on the back of that big James Lowe bust up the left, and Ireland got on top of Scotland and really dominated that third quarter. But I wonder, like, Gregor Townsend said, like, we know how Ireland are going to play. And that's been great for Ireland over the last couple of years, because even though teams knew what was coming, they weren't able to stop it. I wouldn't panic about it, but there's 2 weeks in a row now of teams largely been able to stymie Ireland. And look, South Africa will have their own defensive plan. You know, Gerry Flannery will be putting that together already. So they need to start showing new pictures. Like, it is a very nuanced and very layered attack, and it's not like they take the same option every time. But I just wonder sometimes, are they going through the patterns that are expected of them, even in their own heads? Are they as surprising as they were, and do they need to just come up with a few new ideas? And I think that's one thing they were lacking today, because they were more blunt than they normally would be. So that's, and Scotland played a huge role in that. I think they deserve a huge amount of praise for the way they played today.
Yeah, they just struggled to get into their shape. Scotland came hard at them at the breakdown again, which, look, you don't have to watch all of Ireland's games to know that once you slow them down at the breakdown, that's when they really struggle. And England did a job on it last week. Scotland, not to the same extent, because to be fair, like I touched on there with the stats, with the possession and the territory, this was a little different to last week, and Ireland were basically starved of the ball for the most part. But when they got into the red zone deep into the 22, they lacked composure, they lacked that usual clinical edge that we so often associate. Now, whether that is down to, you know, running low on fumes in terms of being a long season, long championship, post-World Cup and all that, but we expect more because they demand more of themselves. So, I mean, if we're a little bit critical of it, I'm sure they will be as well. But there was just so many knock-ons, really frustrating knock-ons, and it sucked the life out of the crowd as well, because at one stage, the nervous tension was certainly building. Yeah. And then obviously Hugh Jones runs in that late try, and it was real squeaky bum time then at that point. But to give Ireland credit, they saw out the last 2 minutes far better than they did at Twickenham. Exactly. Yeah. So you can say they've learned lessons from that as well. And look, once they kind of got control of the last 2 minutes, you never really felt like they were in much trouble. So, I mean, you got to credit that as well, because we were obviously critical of it last week.
I mean, stuff even like the Tyke Furlong try ruled out. You're kind of going, is this
a... Still looked like a try.
It did, 100% absolutely. Was a try, and it was also a high tackle by Andy Christie on him. And Andy Christie was the one who popped up down when Calvin Nash left 5 Scots for dead. It was Christie who came across in that 10-minute period where he should have been off the pitch. So I think I wasn't particularly impressed with Mac Hurley's performance today. I think a couple of things went against Ireland across the day.
Not exactly helped by Marius Jonker's TMO.
No, it didn't. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think Carl Dixon stepped in. He was the one, the touch judge, who said that it wasn't, the on-field decision should be no try, which I thought was a big call for what we all saw in the stadium. And then he couldn't find the evidence to overturn it, which I think was there. I think it would have made life easier if he'd scored then. But like, Scotland do have dangerous game-breaking players who cut Ireland. They did cut Ireland open a couple of times today. So it wasn't a foregone conclusion, and it did need to be managed out. I think they'll be pleased that they found a way. They'll be disappointed to get another card. You know, they're mounting up. I think England-France is on as we record, but they went ahead of France in the cards count with that one, and their discipline has been an issue all through the tournament. Their scrum was dominant today. We should give that credit. Really dominant. That's two. Like, they didn't get reward last week. They destroyed Wales. They were good against Italy. I know they had one against France that kind of crumbled, but by and large, it's been very strong, and that'll get sorted. Sorry, that will get tested massively in the summer. But that's a really strong unit, and you know, largely a Leinster-based pack. That will be a big thing that they can build on in over the course of the next season or the rest of the season. And their defence again. Like, I know Hugh Jones did cut them apart in the last couple of minutes, and a couple of players, Doris Henshaw and even Van der Fleer, will be disappointed with the way they led them through. But you know, it's another game where they only conceded one try. You know, their concession rate has been very good, and really against England, it's what kept them in the game. So there are really good fundamentals still there. It's just when they're attacking, like people are talking about being, even Finn Russell said in the press conference, they're the best team in the world. They didn't look like the best team in the world today. They didn't look like the best team in the world last week. And people are talking about greatness. Like, that's something that will be judged over the course of time. But I think if they keep playing like this, they'll come back to the pack quite quickly. Mm-hmm. We just know they that the players to, that are there can elevate themselves beyond this again.
They only conceded 4 penalties. So the yellow card aside, that was like really good going. And I think it meant that they didn't get the most penalty count. I know you were writing about it during the week, so I'd say that was definitely on their mind, because clearly they were reading your piece. But it was a shame that Tadhg Furlong was robbed at that moment, because I thought he had a brilliant game, but I thought it was really fitting. And I was asking Peter O'Mahony afterwards that he lifted the trophy with Peter O'Mahony. Yes. Again, it goes back to the mark of the man that Peter O'Mahony is. That could have been his moment. It might be his farewell. And his first thought was to get Tadhg Furlong up, who obviously he sadly lost his dad in December. So that was an amazing, I think, moment that shouldn't go unnoticed as well. And it really does speak volumes for the tight bond that we hear so much of the players talking about. I think that was a real sign of it.
So overall, lads, before we go, I mean, as you said there, we hadn't a clue what was going to come from Ireland when we went to Marseille. Marseille feels like a year ago. It feels so long ago. But, you know, you've got to hand it to them. Okay. End up winning the Six Nations.
They bounced back from a kind of career-defining defeat by going winning 4 games out of 5 and losing 1 by point in the last minute against England. And look, the Grand Slam would have been brilliant. Like, it would have been an achievement, and it was there for them. And as they celebrate in the next couple of days, there may be a nagging doubt in there. But the achievement of winning a Six Nations stands on its own 2 feet. Retaining your trophy, the consistency of performance that requires. Yes, they dipped a good bit today, really, and last week. But over the course of this tournament, they are the best team in it. They have been the best team in it. They're the best team in Europe, and they deserve their night. But I think that they know that the pack is coming for them and are figuring out ways of getting to them, and what they need to do, what Andy Farrell and his coaching team need to do in the coming months is figure out ways to stay ahead of that pack. But that's for tomorrow. I think today it's like, it's all about, like, they enjoy their celebrations, they deserve their celebrations, and, you know, Ireland are champions of Europe again.
I think it's brilliant that, you know, this goes without saying, but that Twickenham wasn't the last game. I mean, it felt like almost a World Cup knockout game, but the fact that Ireland got another opportunity tonight to finish the Six Nations on a winning note means that our lasting memory won't be of Twickenham, even though I think when the dust settles, you'll still kind of refer back to that because it was so disappointing. But to have given, like, another sold-out Aviva crowd the night like tonight, because it's worth bearing in mind. I mean,
they
don't happen too often, and we've become almost drunk on Irish rugby success, and it's been so brilliant to be a part of, but it's not always going to be like this. So, like we said at the very start, winning a Six Nations Championship should not be sniffed at, and it definitely shouldn't be sniffed at for winning at home.
Okay, is that us done?
I think so.
Anything
fine,
else
fine for
that?
Those
yes.
points.
Yes. Okay, Keenan Murray, thanks for that. Will and Luke will be back next week, but that's it from us.